Exile here with you again in the Vault Cast, and this is our third installment of Conversations in the Dark. And this week, joining me is the man known as T.L. Bug from the Lightning Bug's Lair. I'm sure you've heard of it. If you haven't, it's thelightningbugslair.com. And welcome to the show, T.L.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me on, and I've been enjoying your past shows, so I'm really happy to be here tonight.
Well, we're going to be talking tonight about some of the great movies that were, or maybe even not so great, that we're looking forward to in 2010, the year that just started. I did a post about, a lot of people did, but I did a post recently about some of the things I'm definitely looking forward to, so this is something I'm definitely interested in talking about, because I actually think this is looking to be a pretty good year. What do you think?
I think it could be. It depends. There's a lot of, you know, big movies coming out, but they're in some new hands, and a lot of the new hands are untested. So I think we got to see what comes of these new people. I mean, it could be a new breed of director, or it could be nothing.
Well, one of the interesting ones for me, I just want to put it out there, and I say interesting because I don't know whether to think of it as a negative or a positive anymore, is this Wolfman remake. I've been following it since I first started doing this blog. Literally, one of the earliest posts I did was about Anthony Hopkins getting cast in the Claude Rains role, and it's just been this roller coaster ride. I'm sick of hearing all these bizarre changes and developments, and I just, at this point, I'm thinking there's no way it could be any good, but I'm hoping that it is somehow. What do you think about this?
Well, there's always stuff, you know, popping up in the news. I mean, Elfman scores in, Elfman scores out. Who knows? Half of Elfman scores lying on the sidewalk somewhere. You can't really tell. But, you know, it's looking good. I really like the trailer. I like Benicio. He looks like a Wolfman to begin with, so it's got that going for it up front.
You know, actually, you brought up the Danny Elfman thing, and I just read that a little while back, and God, you know, I just started thinking, this isn't totally on topic, but I don't know what's been up with Danny Elfman lately, but if you follow his career at all, he's been having a lot of problems. He got booted from Spider-Man 3 by Sam Raimi, okay? They used a different composer for that one. He wrote an entire score right after that, or maybe right before, for the movie Nacho Libre, and then it was decided to use the traditional Mexican music that was used instead of the score he had written. And now this is going on. So, I mean, if I was him, I would be becoming a very bitter person right about now.
Well, I think he got accused for a while, and probably rightfully so, of repeating himself a lot. I mean, if you look, you know, even back to Big Top Pee Wee and his Batman soundtrack and beyond, he repeated those things a lot of times, and I think it got tired for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, because I used to have a running gag about him that, yeah, you could sort of imitate his scores pretty well. Like, they always had, they did have a very similar style, and even more so than, you know, every composer has his own style, but there was a little too much similarity. Like, I always used to make fun of all the la 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 in every Danny Elfman score. You had to have little kids going la 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 la.
That was a must have, and something, you know, very swelling with a lot of strings that's gonna, you know,
and I actually noticed, and this is kind of obscure, but I noticed too, in the soundtrack of Batman, the original Batman, there is literally an entire theme. It's the theme where they break into the factory that is completely stolen from Pictures at an Exhibition by Mussorgsky, I think. Pictures at an Exhibition, which is a romantic classical piece, and it's just completely stolen outright. So I guess I'm not that surprised now anyway, but we can get back to the topic here. But the Wolfman is – I don't know. What do you think? You think it's after all is said and done, is it going to be worth it?
I think it's going to be a good theater experience. Whether it'll be worth watching again, I don't know, but I'm definitely going to go to the theater to see it.
Well, what's the thing that you're looking forward to the most this year? Because I kind of talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago, but what would it be for you?
Well, mine's kind of a weird movie that's coming out, kind of a little off the beaten track. It's called And Soon the Darkness, and it's a remake of a film from 1970. Directed by Robert Frost with Pamela Franklin. And it's being updated with Keith Urban from the recent Star Trek movie.
Dr. McCoy. And,
Yes, Dr. McCoy and Amber Heard, of course, everybody knows from All the Boys Love Mandy Lane.
Right.
It's basically, you know, the original was a girl getting stalked across the French countryside. They've moved it to Argentina this time. I think it's going to be a pretty good. The original movie is very creepy, very atmospheric, and I think it's one to watch for Keith Urban.
I like him a lot. I thought he was actually – I enjoyed the Star Trek reboot very much, and I thought he was the best thing – did I say Keith Urban? It's not Keith Urban. It's Carl Urban. Keith Urban is a country music
guy.
Did
I say Keith Urban too?
One of us said it. I don't know. But, yeah, we're not talking about country music here tonight.
No,
that's for sure.
No, sorry.
But, no, it's Carl Urban. Also, Lord of the Rings, right? That's where I remember really kind of getting to know who he was. But God, he completely channeled DeForest Kelly in that movie, and not in a campy, like, impersonator way, but, I mean, he just did it. He nailed it. He was unbelievable. But
yeah, I'm really hoping they bring more into the dynamic, you know, of the, you know, Kirk, Spock, McCoy thing, because he was a little in the background of the first movie, and I'd really like to see more of him.
Well, if you noticed, there was one scene where you could really see they were kind of delving into it. There was that one scene where the three of them are on the bridge together for the first time, debating some issue. I forget what it was, and it really did have that feel from the TV show of when they would all be there arguing with each other, you know, and you'd be thinking, what the hell is the doctor doing on the bridge of this ship all the time? Aren't there sick people that he's got to be taking care of?
That's true.
But yeah, you know, actually this new one, And Soon the Darkness, that he's doing, I haven't really been following it all that closely as much as I have some other things that are coming out this year, but it is interesting that it's a remake of kind of an obscure British movie from the 70s, you know, like you were saying. And I don't know, like, I'm normally, my knee-jerk reaction is, you know, remakes, I just sort of roll my eyes. But you know, the little I have heard about it, it does seem to be pretty promising. So I mean, I'm it's something I've I'll be cautiously optimistic about, I'll say, when it comes to the whole remake problem.
Right. Well, remakes, you know, remakes are always an issue, but, you know, remakes have really been part of the film industry since the dawn of cameras.
Yep.
So, you know, sometimes you got to bring these stories up into a new generation, and sometimes it works and sometimes it's a travesty.
No, that's true. That's true. Every now and then. Like, I think, you know, one of the reasons I don't have an issue with The Wolfman is because I think it's so far out of – it's not that it's completely out of living memory, because, I mean, I'm sure, you know, there are people who might remember when the original came out, but that was an awfully long time ago. And it is not too far out of living memory, so especially not for the majority of the core fan base. It's a lot different when you're remaking a movie from the 80s or 90s or even the 70s. Honestly, that's a little too close for comfort for me. I'm a purist when it comes to these remakes. I don't have a problem remaking a movie from the 40s, though. I could deal with that a lot easier.
Yeah, I can see that. And the Wolfman really hasn't had many proper full remakes of the Wolfman, and definitely not one in the last, you know, 20 years, you know, unlike Dracula and Frankenstein. So sure, it's probably time to revive that universal monster.
Okay, so there's a few other things we could definitely get into. Let's skip the remake thing for a minute. Shutter Island. What do you make of that? I gotta say that you know, even though they keep trying to tag it strictly as a psychological thriller, which I think is a marketing ploy more than anything else because it has less of a stigma, that might well be true. But it definitely has the feel, the look, and the feel of a horror movie, and the idea of Martin Scorsese putting his stamp on a horror movie is extremely intriguing to me.
Well, it looks supernatural to me. I mean, the trailer seems to want to make us think it's one thing, but I think it's going to be a bait and switch. It's got, you know, a great cast. Ben Kingsley, Leo. I'm not a huge fan of his, but he's always real good. Max von Sydow. I know Jackie Earle Haley's going to be showing up in this one too. So, you know, I'm pretty excited about it. Scorsese's, you know, he's not what, you know, Scorsese once was, but this looks like maybe, you know, something real different, maybe a return.
I'll tell you what, though. He's definitely not what he once was. You know, he went through a period in the 80s where I think he really lost his way, and he never quite got back. He started really kind of, I hate to use the word sell out, because I hate when people say that, because you know what, this is a business and everybody likes to make money. But I think that he kind of got a little desperate and started taking big studio money in the 80s, doing things like The Color of Money and real like studio pictures, and he never quite got back. Although in recent years, the stuff he's been doing, especially with DiCaprio, I have to go on record as saying I never liked DiCaprio until the stuff he's been doing with Scorsese. I really enjoyed The Aviator, I gotta say, I did, and I liked Gangs of New York a lot. And God, what was the last one that he? There was another one that he did.
The
Oh,
Departed.
The Departed was excellent. I really
Yep.
thought The Departed was probably the best thing he's done since Goodfellas, and that actually covers a lot of ground. So
Yeah, it
I mean,
does.
he's not in. He's not 70s Scorsese, clearly not. But he's potent enough, especially in the last. In the last, I would say, 10 years or so, that I think it's got a lot of promise. I don't think it's going to be supernatural. I think what we're seeing in that trailer, and I haven't read the book, but I think what we're seeing is a lot of sort of like hallucinatory stuff. I don't think it's a haunted, asylum or anything like that. I think it's mainly going to be, kind of hallucinatory. I don't think that stuff is really happening, those weird things we're seeing in the trailer. But yeah, so that might be, as far as movies go, that and The Wolfman are up there for me in terms of what I'm looking forward to. But
But here's the big question. What are you not looking forward to? What's really scaring you on the horizon?
okay, it's funny you asked me that because the answer springs to my mind almost as quickly as you could ask, because I don't I honestly have trouble even talking about it because it bothers me so much. And it is this American version of Let the Right One In, which is being called Let Me In, obviously, as we know. This thing is just the fact that it exists, that it's happening, just makes me sad. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it says something. There was a time when foreign language films were released in theaters with subtitles, and people were okay with that, and they just went to the theater and saw these great foreign language films.
Or even dubbing. Dubbing was done.
Yeah, or even dubbing. However, to get them into the theaters and get butts in seats, and I don't see a reason why everything has to be remade, like the whole Wreck thing last year in quarantine. I mean, that was just foolish. So, I mean, I think this is another case like that where it's just completely unnecessary, and silly. I mean,
Not only
there's
that. Yeah, but they're gonna change. They're gonna the Swedish movie itself, which for my money is it's probably it could have been it might very well be the best one of the best movies of the entire decade, horror movie or otherwise. Definitely the best movie of its year, even though it didn't even get nominated for best foreign language film. But that already was a bit watered down from the novel, a bit scaled back, and I haven't read the novel, but I'm well aware of the plot differences, and it really they sort of pulled back a little bit. And honestly, I think for the best, I have to say, I think that, for people that don't know, I mean, I don't want to spoil the book or anything, but we know that, for example, we know that Ely is actually a boy, which is not plainly stated in the movie. It's not really, you have that weird scene where he catches her in the bathroom and I don't know what the hell's going on in there with her when she's naked or whatever. But it's never plainly stated in your face that she's not a girl. Even though she says it, you don't quite know what she means by that. It could mean she's saying she's not human or whatever. And the whole thing about, Hakan, her, Renfield that she has being sort of like sexually interested in her as a boy. Honestly, I think that would have really taken away from the movie, I have to say. I think the movie as it stands, it's so poignant and it's so sweet and yet sad and also horrifying at the same time. I think it would have been far too distracting for them to get into all that, and it would have really I would personally would have taken me out of the movie a bit. But having said that, this American version is going to be so much more sanitized than even that Swedish one was. I called it already. There's no ambiguity. She is clearly 100% going to be a little girl.
Oh, surely. And I mean, they're already changing names. They're setting it in Arizona, New Mexico, somewhere like that.
Oh, so it's not even going to be in a snowy setting? Is that it? I thought at least it would be in the snow.
Yeah, apparently, Vermont was closed for filming. So, They decided, you know, like Arizona, that's the only place that's open, so let's just go there.
Well, they changed the names of the characters, which I can understand. Illy, if you're making her definitely a girl, she's got to have a girl's name. But why on earth can't the boy have the same name? I mean, I don't know. I see. I can't even really talk because I'm so annoyed by it. And Matt Reeves is doing it.
They put it in the hand of Matt Reeves, who, you know, he made Cloverfield, and that was a fine enough movie. And you know, sure, it made some people vomit, but you know, movies do that. And you know, I'm just not sure. Like, his eye is what you're looking for a film like this either. So I mean, on that, they've misstepped again.
I mean, that movie is so perfectly done. It's so beautiful. It really is a beautiful film, and it balances so much. It manages to be, like I said, it's horrifying, it's heartbreaking, it's heartwarming, it's all these things at once. It's so well made, and to tamper with that when you could very easily release it, I understand Americans don't like to read, fine, release it in a dubbed version. It wouldn't be my preference, but I don't understand. I talked a little bit about this issue last week with Mike Snoonian from All Things Horror about what's the big issue. I mean, you're talking about the overhead involved of making a whole movie over again. I can't understand why that's considered financially feasible rather than just releasing it, the original, in a dubbed format. But you know, what do I know? But that is the one I'm least looking forward to by a country mile.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, that's definitely the worst thing that's on the horizon, and I don't think anything can possibly be more just offensive cinematically this year.
Well, maybe the last one. I know that, you know, there's so many things we want. There's so many that we wanted to hit on, but I'm looking at some of the ones here that we were thinking about talking about, and I got to say, the one I definitely don't want to leave out is Nightmare on Elm Street. We really should talk about that. That remake. Where do you stand on that?
You know, I was excited when they cast Jackie O'Haley. I like, you know, the look of the trailer and everything. I'm just still not sure. You know, Nightmare on Elm Street, I mean, that's a seminal film. That's an important film to, you know, a generation of horror fans and beyond. And I just, unlike, say, you know, Friday the 13th remake last year, it just really didn't bother me because, you know, Jason is not really a character so much as a dude who goes around and, you know, puts machetes into people. And, you know, Texas Chainsaw, the same can kind of be said about that, although, you know,
well, Leatherface has
strange things with him over the years.
Yeah, he's got a little more personality.
Yeah, a little bit more. But, you know, Freddy Krueger is all about the personality, and I'm just not sure that you can remove Robert Englund from the character, even though Jackie O'Haley may be great, and make anything out of this film.
I gotta say, okay, I hated the Friday the 13th remake, but I'm not a big fan of Friday the 13th in general. I mean, my attitude was it was just as bad as the original series. So, I mean, great, congratulations, nicely done.
But I agree with that, but I like how bad the original series is, so...
But with Nightmare on Elm Street, I do enjoy them. I am giving this one a chance. I really am. Everything I've seen, not everything, a lot of what I've seen makes me hopeful. It looks like it has a really great look. The original is a fantastic horror film, one of the best of the 80s, but it's definitely of its time. You know, it's an 80s movie, and it looks like an 80s movie. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but this movie really looks like an interesting kind of 21st century version of that story. I'm kind of interested to see it. I think Jackie Earle Haley is going to be, from an acting point of view, is probably going to be very good. I understand that they've made the character like super serious this time around, like this, so there's not going to really be any Freddy one-liners, which I don't have a problem with as long as they don't get out of hand a little bit. That's part of what the character is. He should be kind of having that kind of gallows humor to a degree.
Right.
I actually think he might be a better actor than Robert Englund. I don't know if Robert Englund is, you know, he's not exactly, you know, one of the great character actors of his time, whereas Jackie Earle Haley may very well be. So
yeah, Robert Englund is not, you know, Olivier. But you know, he hit a note with that character that I think is going to stay with a lot of people, and it's going to take a lot for Haley to really overcome that. I mean, I'm keeping an open mind on this one. I do like how the trailer looks. You know, I do hope they make him super scary, because the original movie in the series, that was the best of them, because Freddy was, you know, he had some gallows humor, but he was mostly serious and very frightening. And I'd like to see a return to that.
He hardly even talks in that first one, you know. I think the second one is extremely underrated. I think the second one actually maintains a lot of the feel of the original that started to go out the window in the third one when they become these big special effects movies. But in the second one is really where he starts getting all like sort of like a borscht belt comedian kind of thing happening. But I'll tell you what I don't like though, and I seem to be in the minority here. I really don't like the way that they're having him look. And everybody is out there saying it's great because, well, he looks more realistic now. He looks like a real burn victim. And, you know, I will agree, but I don't think that's a good thing. I mean, I really like the stylized look of the original makeup. I mean, yeah, he doesn't really look like a burn victim. It's a stylized look of burned flesh. But I think that's what's so cool about it. I think it's just bizarre, you know, that, okay, yeah, Freddy looks like a realistic burn victim. Wow, that's okay. Why is that supposed to be impressive? I mean, it just looks weird to me. It makes me feel sorry for him.
Right, right. I can see that. And you know, some people have said, you know, that it's just not going to look right. But I think it depends on – it looked to me like they were going to use a lot of shadow. Wes Craven used a lot of shadow in his original film. And if they keep him, you know, a lot in darkness and everything, I think it can really work like that too. So, you know, it's going to depend a lot on choices they make in the whole film. I mean, unfortunately, we've only gotten to see little snippets and pictures, and I can't wait to see more to see what they actually have done.
And I'm psyched that, from what I understand, they're claiming that it's, you know, 90% real actual makeup work that they're doing, you know, because there had to be the temptation to do a CGI Freddy, you know?
sure. Yeah, that's definitely a big plus. Not to have the CGI, and hopefully they're staying away from the CGI blood as well.
Oh, that's the worst. You know, that's it. That's in general in horror movies. That really, really bothers me. And it's so prevalent now. Even in some very good movies, you know, like 28 Days Later did a lot of it, and a lot of really good horror movies. But I just saw a movie last year called Blood, the Last Vampire, which...
Right, yeah. I've heard a lot of things, bad things about the CGI blood in that.
You know, the movie was very enjoyable. I had a lot of fun with it. A lot of people didn't care for it. I just thought it was a blast. It was like an anime come to life, literally. Mm-hmm. But the blood was terrible. I mean, so bad that it really takes you out of it, because it's just... Like, you're like, you don't even know what it is sometimes. You don't even realize it's supposed to be blood. It just looks like somebody's throwing around sacks of, you know, black lima beans or something. I don't know what it's supposed to be. But,
Yeah, it definitely takes you out of the moment. So, you know, here's to bringing Squibs back in mass.
Yes, absolutely. You know, some of these things are so easy to do. I mean, well, look, listen to me talking, but I don't have to do it all. But I mean, like, I like CGI when it's done for things that you really can't accomplish. You know, and making, you know, blood is not one of those things. It's just not. It's just a shortcut. So, well, that's my two cents.
But they just got to put the more budget in for Aero Syrup, and they'll be set.
Definitely. But look, I mean, this has been really great. I could seriously go on all night. There's things we didn't even get to. You know, like there's the Suspiria remake. There's I Spit on Your Grave remake, which I've heard through the grapevine is actually going to be pretty damn intense. I've heard from people, you know, that I know who will remain nameless, who have gotten hands on the script, that it's pretty serious. Like, it's not going to be something that's watered down. So it's pretty hardcore. So that's something I was, God, excited about. There's the sequel to The Descent. I mean, so many things we could get to.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot, and this is barely, even those are just barely scratching the surface of what's coming out this year.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we might have to do a second one of these at some point. You know, maybe we'll do like a mid-year catch-up, like, to see if these movies lived up to our expectations. You know, I'll have to have you back here.
Sure, I'd love to. That'd be great.
But I want to thank you, though, for taking some time out to to do this and talk about some of the things we're looking forward to this year. It's been a pleasure, and for everyone out there listening, again, TL's excellent blog, by the way, is The Lightning Bugs Lair, which is thelightningbugslair.com. Very easy to remember. And so I want to thank you for coming on Conversations in the Dark tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me. The Baltimore has been a big supporter of mine since I started out, and I'm really happy to be here tonight, and thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, sir.